The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Now, our next guest's book is number one in the Amazon dystopian charts. Sarah Marie Griffin, the author of Spare and Found Parts, is with us. Sarah, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Matt.
Okay, what's a dystopian chart?
I didn't know until this morning. Amazon have several different kinds of charts for different kinds of books. So if you write nature books, there's a nature chart. If you write cookbooks, there's a cooking chart. And if you write dystopias, like I do, there is a dystopia chart.
Okay, you better explain what a dystopian novel is to me, please.
A dystopian novel takes place after the end of the world. And that's what the book that, or an apocalyptic novel. And that's what Spare and Found Parts is. It's set in a Dublin that has long been ruined and long been destroyed and only has a couple of people left in it.
Okay. And these people are also missing limbs.
They are, because something pretty terrible happened, which I won't spoil, which wiped our population and left the people who survived missing pieces.
Missing pieces. And does that then pass from generation to generation?
It sure does.
But do they get spare parts, replacement pieces?
That they do. And that's where this novel kicks off. It's about an inventor. It's about an inventor's daughter. But the inventor in question provides the citizens of this of Blackwater City, which is a futuristic Dublin, with biomechanical limbs and prosthesis.
Okay, so, where did this story come out of? Your imagination, clearly, but what brings your imagination into these places?
In some ways, it was I've been writing for a long time, and during a conversation in 2012 with another writer, Deirdre Sullivan, she said to me, you know, you should try and write a Frankenstein novel, because I love Frankenstein, I love Mary Shelley, I love science fiction, and I thought maybe I would give a try at writing some kind of Frankenstein story. And it took years. Books take a long time. But eventually I cobbled together Spare and Found Parts, which has a little bit of Frankenstein in it for sure. It's about a young woman who built herself a friend out of spare and found parts. It's a little on the nose. But it's sort of a Frankenstein story. So that would be where it began anyway and what kicked it all off.
It's not your first book, though, because your first book was Not Lost, a story about leaving home. Tell us, remind us a little bit about that.
Well, in 2012, I emigrated to California during this enormous wave of Irish migrants. I believe there was more people emigrating that year than during the famine. There were waves of us leaving. And while I was away, I started writing articles for the Irish Times for Generation Emigration about being away. And slowly but surely, the articles started stacking up and turning into more than just articles, but whole essays. And you look down eventually and you've got enough essays that make a book. So New Island Press took it off me, and it came out in 2013. So it was written quite quickly and is an exact portrait of 1 year living in California.
Were you a willing emigrant?
I don't know if I'd say that. I was excited at the prospect of adventure. I was excited to be running away to San Francisco. But willing is a strong word.
The reason I asked that is I remember at the time there was quite a lot of political controversy with the likes of Michael Noonan as finance minister saying, actually, this is sort of a rite of passage for Irish people. They should go away for a few years and then they might come back afterwards. Now, I know I'm paraphrasing, but that was the sort of the attitude which was quite commonplace at the time.
It was. And that's a strange conversation to have been involved in as somebody in their early 20s. My sister is now 23. And The idea of sitting down with a 22 or 23-year-old and saying, so are you leaving the country? Are you staying in the country? That sounds a little like pushing them out. I was going to go on away parties twice a week. Everyone I knew was leaving. Many of them have come home, but some of them haven't. It shouldn't be a rite of passage. It should be an option. Certainly, we should be able to go and come as we please. But I don't think we should feel like we have to leave. Ireland has so much. There were so many people who I left behind when I went away who stayed here and did incredible, incredible things. Leaving Ireland shouldn't be the bottom line for anybody. We should have the option to stay here and grow and flourish.
What brought you back?
San Francisco's a funny town, you know. We were working very hard, myself and my husband, and we came to the realization that we would never, that it just wasn't right. It was a wonderful adventure, but not all adventures have to be permanent. And our families are here. And ultimately, there comes a point in everyone's adventure where you have to look at your family and think, well, do I want to be with them or do I want to be out here?
Has coming back been what you expected it to be?
Not at all. No.
In what way?
It's been much better.
Oh, really? It's a good story. Because the reason I asked that, I've heard a lot of people, I've met a lot of people who've been somewhat disappointed by coming back to find that well, it's very expensive to find accommodation.
It is.
When you've been away for over 3 years, your car insurance goes up. And also sometimes some people give the attitude, oh, well, you had a great time. You went away for a few years. Well, we hung on here.
There's a little bit of that for sure. And I do resist that because I think you should be able to, if you can, you should be able to try and go away. I was delighted to come home because I missed the people. I didn't realise how much I missed Dublin and how much I missed Irish people and how much I missed my family and friends. And even the weird moments along the way where people would say things like, Asher, didn't you go off and have a great time and now you're back, you leech. Fine. But I came home to the people I cared most about. And that was the most important thing to me, was to come back and be surrounded by people I loved.
Going away, did that actually help you though in writing this book, your dystopian novel? Did it actually allow you to have more imagination about a Dublin of the future?
Absolutely. In some ways, Fair and Faint Parts is sort of the shadow twin to Not Lost. If you put them down next to each other, Not Lost is teal with this bright red Golden Gate Bridge on the cover. It's very light looking. And this book is black and gold and red. They couldn't be more opposite. But in many ways, they're telling the same story. They're telling a story about alienation and difficulty fitting in. And they're also both telling a story about Dublin. The Blackwater City in Spare and Fem Parts is a raised Dublin. It's a Dublin burnt to the ground. You can still, there's Cleary's is there, the Lighthouse Cinema, the Olympia. Dublin's landmarks are all there, even though they're burnt out and old. But it was a city that I couldn't take my mind off, no matter how far I went. I was living in arguably one of the most beautiful cities in the world. San Francisco is stunning.
It's gorgeous.
Stunning. For about a week. And I couldn't take my mind off Dublin. So absolutely, this book flourished in that distance.
One other thing I want to ask you about, because I believe it's becoming quite a trend now, people giving up their smartphones, and I believe you're part of that as well.
I am, yes.
How long ago did you do it?
Oh, about 10 days ago.
How was it going for you?
The first 3 days were super weird. My hands felt funny. Isn't that a strange thing to say? That I felt like I didn't have something to hold. I would have been a big iPhone user. I loved taking photos. I loved WhatsApp. I loved having this portal to the world in my hand all the time. I got an iPhone the day after I emigrated. So it was like my way of moving between home and San Francisco. It's a gateway to the world. Whereas now that I've given it up, I know I'm only 10 days in. I'm early days. I have a Nokia 3310, like the past. It's brilliant. After the first 3 days, it started to alleviate. And now I don't really think about it so much.
Hold on, why did you do it in the first place?
The book was about to come out. And I didn't want to be stressed out. I wanted to continue to just... Because the internet is there and thrumming away in the background. And I was also finishing my second novel under a deadline. I handed it in on Monday to my editor.
Congratulations.
So thank you. I cannot believe it. It's gone. So I needed space from distractions and the internet, because I had a job to do and I had something to finish. And when Monday came and I handed it in, I just didn't take the phone out again.
And do you think you're going to stick with that? You know the way people give up drink, they give up cigarettes, and then they end up going back on them. Will you end up going back on the 21st century addiction, which is the smartphone?
I won't rule it out. I would like to use it like a tool, but not to have it use me. I would like to have it there for emergencies, for answering difficult questions and hailing taxis. But I don't want to do all my communicating through it anymore.
Sarah Maria Griffin, it's been great meeting you. The book is called Spare and Found Parts, and we look forward to talking to you about your next book when that comes out as well.
Thank you so much.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.